fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And this week I've been walking through a set of passages and reflections from the apostles and the life of some of the saints that help us, hopefully help you and help me, know how to live fruitfully in these difficult and challenging times. Everybody feels it, everybody sees it, everybody senses a kind of unraveling and chaos in the culture. And in moments like this, this could be a time of great grace and harvest for the life of the church, because people are looking for answers. People are scared. People are confused. People don't know where to turn. They don't know who to trust. This is when the church needs to be the church. A good friend Al Cresta here at Ave Maria Radio often says, and their motto is, build the church, bless the nation. That what the nation needs, what the world needs, is for the church to be the church, not for the church to be the world, not for the church to be caught up in the frantic pace, the unsettled angst, the fear, the anxiety, the frantic pace of everything, as I was saying, that the church needs to be a light, a different way of life, to show the world a different way to walk through trial and difficulty that's rooted in faith, hope, and love, and peace and joy. That's really possible. And it's when we read the New Testament and you see what the brothers and sisters in the early church lived through, they lived through much worse than what we're experiencing today. And they walk through trial and difficulty, tremendous societal opposition, persecution, even martyrdom. They had very little resource to be able to kind of take control of their situation, but they lived with the Lord. And what they actually experienced in the midst of it, in the midst of direct personal opposition, unrelenting opposition in some cases, was they experienced the peace of Christ, they experienced the promises of Jesus being true. And they shared and lived those together. Jesus said, I'm with you always till the end of the age. And they experienced Jesus accompanying them and giving them the strength they needed when they needed it. Jesus said, you'll be brought before, you know, rulers and leaders who are going to be against you. Don't worry about what you're going to say at moments like that. I'll be there. I'll help you. I'm going to give you what you need in difficult times to do and to speak what needs to be done, what needs to be spoken. I will be with you always. He said, remember, in this world you're going to have tribulations. He kept reminding the apostles. He said, the road in following me and becoming my disciple, it's narrow, it's difficult. It really is going to be fraught with pain and difficulty and rejection. It's not a life of comfort and a life of ease and great recognition and pure pleasure. It is not a pleasure cruise. It's a road to Calvary. It's a battle. It's a struggle. And it's going to cost you everything. But don't be afraid. In this world, yes, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Those two simple sentences are worthy of a month of reflection. In this world, you will have tribulation. First of all, nobody wants that, especially as Americans. We kind of feel like our birthright in America is for life to be a kind of pleasure cruise for us. Nothing but comfort and constant kind of drive to be able to create a life for myself filled with distractions and filled with fun and filled with all the things that I want to do with my life. It's crucial for disciples to come to terms with what Jesus is saying. In this world, you will have tribulations. It's going to happen if you're following him. This is where we get into conflict sometimes, because we don't internalize those words and we don't expect those things to happen. We might say we're Jesus' disciple, but where our hearts and minds are set on comfort, ease, pleasure, distraction, entertainment, those kinds of things. We kind of live for those moments and those things. That's in some ways what life is about, or how the pursuit of happiness in America, how it's defined in some ways for so many people. That's the kind of ideal that gets projected. And so when we can't have that, when tribulations actually come, when trials and difficulties come, and the kingdom of darkness is set against us, and we know we're in a battle, and we don't like it, we think there's something wrong, then that's when we complain, and we struggle, and we fight to get out. We feel like somehow we've been dealt a bad hand, and we expect it to change. Well, for the disciples in the New Testament, the circumstances of life were often really difficult, but they touched a deeper reality. They were living with Christ. They were walking with a community of brothers and sisters who were living with Christ. They experienced his direct consolation. They experienced his encouragement. They experienced his power going forth from them. They experienced him lifting them and moving them and compelling them into mission. They knew a high purpose and a sense of great adventure and meaning in their lives. And the circumstances, as unpleasant as they were fundamentally secondary. They weren't primary. And they just wanted to know, what's the will of the Lord? I just want to please the Lord with my life. I don't really care about, would I rather have things a little more comfortable? Sure, I would. But they're not. But that's not going to steal my joy. It's not going to steal my sense of purpose and the meaning of my life. In fact, what many of them experienced, the more trial they endured, the more they received directly from the Lord. He said, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Yesterday, I was reading through this passage from Colossians where Paul was saying, put off the old man, put on the new man. What should we be doing right now? What should be our primary goal is to seek God. What does it mean to seek God? It means to set our minds on him. All right, what does that mean? It means to put to death what's earthly in you is what Paul's telling us here. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Did you notice how much more our society is into this stuff? Because as things get darker, as things get more frightening, as things get more uncomfortable, we're going to go one of two ways. We're either going to move toward God and become more like him, or we're going to yield to our passions and flesh and the worldly desires and all the distractions and the answers that the enemy is serving up so that he can make us slaves to this stuff. So we're going to see more immorality, more impurity, more passion, evil desire. And as Paul goes on, we're going to see more anger and wrath and malice and slander and foul talk coming from people's mouths. That's what happens when human beings are living in the fear of death and they're not free. They're not living in the hope and confidence that comes from Christ. Verse 12 of that same chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Is that how you understand yourself to be? You're the beloved and you're holy. Holy means set apart for God. You're not perfect yet, but God's called you to be set apart for him, to belong to him. So you know why you're here. You know what your life's all about. You know where your life is headed. That's a source of immense hope and confidence and security. It's the ground of your identity. And nothing can shake it. Nothing can ever take that away from you. People are upset all over the place because they feel like things that they're leaning on that belongs to them, that for some people, stuff that they're so attached to, it becomes like an idol for them. It's being taken away from them and they can't stand it. And the result, the reaction is rage and anger, bitterness, frustration, striking out. So again, Paul says, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You see the contrast Paul's making? This is the battle that we're all facing. It's right deep down in the human heart. Are we going to go the way of the old man, as Paul described it? In these very specific ways and ways that we know, I know that you've experienced in your life. I certainly have experienced almost all of these things in my life at one time or another. I mean, it's easy to get angry. It's easier to get caught up in the anger, to be angry at politicians, to be angry at people who disagree with you, to be angry at your bosses or whatever. It's very easy to do that. It comes when we lose sight of who we are. So Paul's saying you have a decision to make. How do you want to live? And going back to what we were saying earlier in the week, we can't get to this place unless, like St. Francis, each day we're on our knees, Lord, enlighten the darkness of my heart, begging God, seeking God, laying hold of God's word and allowing God's word to touch us, speak to us. When God speaks, power goes forth and he changes us. That's why we want to internalize God's word and chew on it every single day. So like Jeremiah, as I began the week, he said, when I found this word, I devoured it. It became the joy and the happiness of my heart. Friends, this is your provision. The person of Jesus Christ and his personal word to you. The grace that he wants to give you through his word, through his sacraments, through the life of the church, through his mission that he's called you to. So be quick to forgive, friends. Be quick to forgive. Why? Because you have been forgiven much. If you don't see that, beg God to show you, because you're blind. If you don't see it, you're blinded. You need his help. You need his grace. He goes on, verse 14, and over all these things put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So put on love. Love is what? It's willing the good of another as other, recognizing the dignity, the value, the stamp of God's nature on your neighbor. Your neighbor may not see it. Your neighbor may deny it. But you're called to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't insist on its own way. Man, that description in 1 Corinthians 13 of what love is, it's a description of the person of Jesus. And at the same time, it's a description of who Peter Herbeck is not so often, right? How often I want to insist on my own way, how impatient I can be. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what should you do in these difficult times? Do everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you do? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. If the word of God's not dwelling in you, if you're not laying hold of it, friend, you're going to starve your spirit. You're not going to be able to have the strength to resist the attack of the enemy in this hour. So live in the word of God, chew on the word of God, and take his promises to heart, and be thankful. Don't be afraid to admonish one another. I love this line. And be filled with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and having thankfulness in your heart. You know, I have a little to-do list. I put on a little card to begin every day. What am I supposed to do? The first thing I put down is gratitude. Because it's, for some reason, it's easy for me to not have gratitude, either to be presumptuous or to be grumpy about what I don't have. Friends, let's be a light to the world. Amen. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.